Today is going to be a little bit of a shorter message because I wanted to leave some time at the end of the service today to be able to visit some of the ministry tables that we have set up, both in the back of this room and then over in the big room where we have Wednesday night Bible study. Just to set the stage, though, for that time, I wanted to just talk a little bit today about church, you know, and when I say church, you know, when we first began this church, it's a church plant, which means that it hasn't been here for a long, long time, several years ago, we just really felt that the Lord calling us to start another local assembly, and at that time, we actually rented the log building at Old Bedford Village as the church began there before we moved down here into the plaza. And we changed the name of the church from Christ Community Church to Acts Community Church to reflect a little bit of what we really felt God speaking to us and wanting to do through this particular local body as we really focused a lot in those early days on youth ministry, using drama and dance, did a lot of outreach in the community. And it was wonderful, and it was indeed what God had ordained for that season. You know, I wanted to talk today about how the fact that the church's mission never changes, but its methods must. Do you know what I mean by that? The church's mission never changes. It hasn't since Jesus began the church, but its methods must change. As times have changed and as people have changed. But I'll just talk a little bit about that mission here this morning. You know, the first time in the New Testament where the word church appears, does anybody know? It was Jesus when he was speaking to his disciples, particularly as Peter, by the inspiration of God, came up with the revelation that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to Peter, I tell you that you are the rock, right? The small rock. And on this big rock, Petra, I will build my church. First time that word appears in the Bible, in the New Testament. I will build my church, Jesus said. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it, will not overcome it. Well, that word church is actually the original word was ecclesia, and it comes from two words, ek meaning out of, and then klesis, which is a calling. So really, the definition of church, according to the scriptures, is the gathering of the called out ones. And that is a wonderful definition, the gathering of the called out ones. It refers, first of all, to the Big C Church. And when I say Big C Church, the fact of the matter is, there only is one church in God's eyes. You know that. There only is one church in His sight. It is the true church of the living Christ, His body on the earth. Only one church. And the scriptures really refer to it as the body of Christ. And then, as is practical, there are local gatherings of that one church all over the world. From the beginnings, the days in Jerusalem, and as that gospel spread, local gatherings, we call them congregations today, right, sprang all throughout the world. But really, one body of Christ, huh? You know, whenever I got saved, the particular faith that I grew up in really didn't teach a lot about other denominations or other faiths. And so when I got saved, I had a lot of questions about, you know, where did all the denominations come from? Where in the world did all the splits come from? And what you find out is that because a church is made up of human beings, right? Human beings are, they're human. And as a result of it, many times the gathering began to dispute about some of the things that that they were doing, mostly about methods. Well, for example, about baptism, you know. You know that there have been many denominations created just because people couldn't agree on the way you're going to baptize somebody. What do? Backwards, forwards, immersion, sprinkling, one time, three times. I mean, it's crazy how even things like that have created many different denominations. And you know, sometimes what happens is those particular denominations, they forget about the Big C Church. And they all of a sudden think that they're the ones, you know. Isn't that what happens? Isn't that what has happened? It's been really crazy. And I just wonder, you know, how it grieves the heart of God to see the disunity in the body of Christ instead of the unity. But the church's mission is and always has been about the Great Commission, right? Jesus, before he left this world to go back into heaven, he said these words. He said, you know, all authority has now been given to me on earth and under the earth, in heaven and under heaven. He said, therefore, you, all my disciples, all my followers, go and make other disciples, other followers, other learners, which is really what the word means, everywhere, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. The first church that you read about in the book of Acts was a very simple church. And one of the reasons why we called this church Acts is we wanted to get back to the basics, right, of our faith. In the book of Acts, in the second chapter, right after the day of Pentecost, as the gathering began, it says these words in chapter 2. It says, they devoted themselves. They, meaning the Christians, the gathering, the church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. One, four things. The apostles' teaching, to fellowship, right? To the breaking of bread, which was the Lord's Supper, right? And to prayer. Four things that they made the gathering about. And it said that all the believers that gathered together, they shared with one another as anyone had need. What a powerful testimony to the love of God. And it says they continued to meet together. You know, as I go out and I visit the unchurched every week, I have the blessed opportunity of being invited into homes where many times people aren't Christian or really haven't fellowship with other Christians for a long, long time. And, you know, one of the questions I'm always asked is, well, you know, Pastor, do you need to go to church to be a Christian? You see, do you understand the problem with the question? Do you need to go to church to be a Christian? Well, you know, because I just said church doesn't mean a building. It means the gathering. So what's the answer? Come on, don't be afraid of it. The fact of the matter is that Christians without gathering are not the church. Now, I don't care where you gather. You can gather in your living room. You can gather in your backyard. You can gather by the river. Shall we gather by the river, right? Or you can come to a building, or in this case, a shopping center. Although, don't come to shop. Come to be, right? Come to be the church. The scriptures tell us don't forsake the gathering. It does. It says don't forsake the gathering. And even though, you know, you don't need to come to a building to be the church, there is a reason why we gather. Just like I said today, when you gather in corporate worship, there is a special manifest presence of the Lord. It is important to get together. And like I said, I don't care where, but get together with other Christians. Because as the scriptures tell us, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, right? That we're the body of Christ, and each of us is to understand that we are to help one another, building one another up in the most holy faith, the scripture says. You know, our churches vision statement is built around the Great Commission and the two great commandments that Jesus spoke. What did he say? The greatest commandment was what? To love God with all your heart. And the second was like it, which is to love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah. And then our mission statement as a church is even simpler. I don't know if you've ever read it. It is to reach up, to build up, and to reach out. Three elements of really what I believe the body of Christ should be about. Reach up, right? What are we doing when we reach up? Huh? What are we doing when we reach up? Worshiping, right? We're worshiping, we're praying. What are we doing when we build up? Build up one another, right? Teaching, training, loving on, right? And what are we doing when we reach out? Reaching others, right, in Christian love. Reaching others, both those that are a part of the body of Christ, as well as those who haven't yet understood the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. So there is both an inward focus and an outward focus. Amen? I can't think of any better scripture than Ephesians chapter 4. It really speaks to the true mission of the church. Can I read it to you just briefly this morning? If you want to turn there, if you want to bring it up on the screen even, it's Ephesians chapter 4, and I'll focus down around verse 12, but I want to read actually from the beginning of the chapter, Ephesians chapter 4, and starting in verse 1. Paul, he writes this. He says, as a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received, calling to be a Christian, that is. So be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, because there is one body, huh? And one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, right? One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one, now each one means each one, every Christian, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it, dealt it out. That's why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. And then there's that parenthetical statement in verse 9. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? It said, he who descended is the one, very one, who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. And it was he, Christ, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, all for this purpose. This is the key statement, right? Verse 12, to prepare God's people for works of service, that the body of Christ may be built up. There was kind of a funny story about a guy who came to church one day, and the preacher kind of cornered him as he was on the way out, shaking his hands, and he grabbed the hands of this guy and pulled him aside, and the pastor asked the man, he said, you need to join the army of the Lord. And the guy said, I'm already in the army of the Lord, Pastor. And the pastor said, well, how come I only ever see you here a couple of times a year? He whispered back, I'm in the Secret Service. Ouch. You know, this verse, verse 12, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. One of the things that is a challenge with our church today. Now, I don't mean ours as Acts. I mean the church today in the day and age we're living in, is that we have actually kind of now for hundreds of years felt the problem that comes with the paid clergy. And here's the problem. The problem that started whenever clergy began to be paid, that is clergy, mostly pastors you think of, right, is that all of a sudden people began to think, well, it's their job. it's their job, right, to do whatever needs to be done in the church. And honestly, the church actually began to adopt what I call the spectator sport mentality. You know, the spectator sport, where you can go and sit in a stadium and watch the game and enjoy it, right, but not play it. And I can tell you with complete truth and passion that church was never intended to be a spectator sport. Never, ever. But really what I was saying about don't come shopping, consumerism has really seeped into the church as well. Now, what do I mean by consumerism? You know, Christians have become consumers instead of really participants in the body of Christ. Consumers, meaning that you shop, right, for the kind of stuff that you like. And then you partake without ever thinking about participating. That's consumerism. And that also is very opposing, opposite of that which you really find is the key to having a healthy church. Amen? The church. Come on. Yeah. You know, I had mentioned that missions never change, but methods do. You know, I really just give a shout out today to those that have served just so faithfully in this church. Like my wife, you know, when we began this church, really, it was her unique talents of using drama. I don't know if any of you ever saw her act. I get to every day. But she is a good actress and an even better director. And that really helped us in the early days of our church as really 7, 8, 9 passion plays were written and directed. The last one, where's Jim? The last one. There's some people in here that were in those plays. The last one, 75 people in the cast. 16 different churches in Johnstown and Bedford, mostly Bedford, but a couple in Johnstown too were involved in that passion play. Kim, you know, just really introduced dance into the church. Honestly, before she did, I didn't know any churches that were really worshiping through the dance in the area. But then she began to work with the youth and involve them in using dance and drama. And wow, just a powerful thing. Like Josiah, where'd he go? There he is. Yeah, like Josiah, you know, I remember when you were much shorter than you are right now. Yes, and much less muscular too. But, you know, it was such a joy watching them grow. And then Becca, you know, just performing powerfully and allowing us to enter in as we saw them just passionately worship God using those kind of talents and abilities, you know. Absolutely. Puppets I have in my notes to actually give a shout out for. And Tyler was the master of blacklight puppetry. You got to give him. I mean, when he was younger and hardly able to hold that thing up for, you know, 20 minutes on an end, those puppets get heavy. Just amazing. And then Kim, as she stepped out of that role, and then Dee, I got to give a shout out to Dee, because Dee, you know, having to then kind of step into Kim's position in the church, but bringing her own unique passion and talents, you know, she began to really work with the youth and focus on deep, deep worship and prayer. And make deep, deep worship and prayer such an integral part of their lives. And just an incredible blessing to see. You know, now Cindy, you know, kind of stepping in as our church has evolved and younger children now form the group, the largest group of our church, and how talented she is with organization. Oh, my God. She needs to come to my house and live for a little while. Straighten me out, and then come back every month, because by a month's over, it would be unorganized again. But just how she organizes Bible lessons and activities and application for our children and just thinks ahead, you know. And just wonderful, wonderful. But, you know, it's also wonderful to start to see then that younger generation grow and bring their own unique talents and abilities to the church. And I would be remiss if I didn't give a shout out to Tyler, who is really stepping up in that role. And I don't mean to embarrass him by saying that, but it's just a blessing. You know, Tyler and Alyssa, they saw their parents so committed, and now they're stepping into that commitment themselves and excited to use their particular talents and abilities and ideas, right? What a wonderful thing to do. As I mentioned, the mission never changes, but methods must. Methods must. And so, you know, today, Ministry Sunday, we wanted to talk about what you thought were the key ministries of our church today, and also about the ways that you would like to be a part of that ministry. Because remember, the scripture says this, that the pastor's job really is for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, right? So it's a misnomer to call me a minister unless you're calling yourself one too. Because all Christians are made to be ministers, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. But there are as many ministries as there are people and talents to minister. You minister in your own way, in your own unique set of talents and abilities and callings by God. Amen? But we want to be a church that allows you to do that, encourages you to do that, encourages you to be involved in your own unique ways to serve, right? To build up the body of Christ. What are the key ministries of a church? There are certainly key ministries that you never want to ignore, right? What are they? Really, I think our mission statement tries to touch upon each one, right? Reach up. Worship must be a key ministry in the church. Don't you agree? Worship. You know, here's the challenge with worship. The challenge is, you know, in today's world, there are new worship songs being written every day. And, you know, we just had the blessing of worshiping into heaven a precious saint of the Lord, Cora Mayhall, right? Eddie's mom. And you know, she loved to worship. Her worship was the old rugged cross. How great thou art. Amazing, amazing grace, right? Yeah. And indeed, powerful worship, right? Yeah. It was a challenge when we decided to transition from traditional worship to a contemporary worship service. We did so primarily two reasons. One, because we really loved the depth of worship that was coming out of that new expression, right, to God. And two, because we wanted to reach a younger generation on purpose. Because we know that the younger generation is the future of the church. I mean, it's a sad thing to see some of our little country churches that are so beautiful dying. And they're dying not because they don't have contemporary worship. That's not the reason. They're dying because they've lost the focus on the youth. That's why they're dying. They're not attracting young families, and as a result of it, right, young families are not attending. The families with children that are growing up in the church. That's the reason. But worship, you know, worship is an expression of your heart to the Lord. It always has to be a key part of church. But you worship in your own way, don't you? Come on. Yeah, you really do. And the challenge that we have is to try to create an environment where everybody is comfortable in worshiping, but we're worshiping not for each other, but for an audience, really, every one of us, of one. Him. That's what worship is about. And you do that whether you're Liam and you're running across the stage and jumping, right? I remember, you know, my grandmother, Irish Catholic, you know, and in the little town we grew up in, there was one Pentecostal church. And my grandmother said, "Don't you ever go there. They hang on the chandeliers." Well, we don't have many more to hang on. I guess we can't do that. Well, they run across the backs of the pews. And I thought she was kidding, but she wasn't. But you know what? The fact is that, sure, you could get carried away. You could. But shouldn't you be allowed to express yourself in whatever way you really feel that you should? It's about you and God. So we're going to try to be about that in our worship, right? To not ignore the incredibly beautiful new songs that are like Reckless Love of God that we sang today. How great is that song? I mean, how could you not read the words to that song and be touched? You know, that's what I'm talking about. You don't want to ignore how God's Spirit is inspiring people these days, while also not ignoring that He inspired the old rugged cross a long time ago. Amen? Yeah. But you always need to create a focus, right? And I really believe that that while we want to value every single person, that we need to understand that unless we reach the younger generation, that we will indeed begin to decay. Amen? Yeah. What else would you say is the key ministry of the local church? Real quick. What do you think? They gave themselves to the apostles' teaching, right? Has to be. I mean, the Word of God has to be taught. Do you know how much biblical illiteracy there is in America today? Where people, you know, think that things are in the Bible that aren't in the Bible, and things that are in the Bible aren't in the Bible? I mean, it's just, there's a great growing illiteracy as America is moving away from the Word of God. There has to be really sound, Spirit-inspired teaching that goes on in a local church. And so we need people, right? Not only to worship, but to teach. Not only to lead worship in whatever talents they have, but also to use. Because you see, the goal really is to make disciples. Now, disciples are different than just the casual crowd, right? Disciples are those who have said, "I want to follow Jesus and want to learn what that means, learn how to be more like Him." That's discipleship, learning how to follow Christ, learning really what He taught and how to apply what He taught to our daily lives. That's discipleship, and it has to be a key part of any healthy local church. Yeah. Prayer. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to prayer. Huh. You know, it's so simple, yet it's one of the most overlooked things. You know, really, that God has given us that ability to move heaven by our prayers. I remember when we had a larger intercessory team in the church, and some of those people have moved on now that were a real part of that intercessory team. But do you know, I want to tell you this. I could tell a difference in preaching when the intercessors had prayed before the service. Do you know, I could tell a difference today in worship as the worship team gathered in prayer beforehand. prayer makes a difference. Has to be a key part. And then lastly, really outreach, right? You know, we can't adopt a Dead Sea philosophy, right? That to pretend that this is all there is, right, about church is who we are and gather together. That there are people around us in our neighborhoods and our communities, and there are people in our world that are dying without Christ, that we must learn how to reach. Huh? These are the key things that I really believe that we need to focus on as a church. But now in applying all of those, there is room for all kinds of ministries. Ministries of greeting, ministries of helps, ministries of encouragement, huh? Ministries that comfort the bereaved, huh? That send flowers to the sick, cards to those who need encouragement, huh? All these kind of things that greet people. We were down at a pastor's gathering down east, and it happened to be this time at a local church. It was a black church in Philadelphia, and predominantly, almost exclusively black. And what a wonderful worship service. But the part I wanted to really focus on was when you approached the church, there was this guy, you know, a big, stalking black guy with the biggest smile on his face that I ever saw in my life, that was there to reach out his hand to you and welcome you into the church, you know? He was made for that job. I know he was, because of the job that he did. I mean, he made you feel welcome before you actually entered the church, and he opened the door for you. You know what I mean? Is that a part of a ministry in the local church? Absolutely. All of these things are indeed the ministries to the local community. You know, the things that we've tried, like clothing giveaways and the Father's cupboard of food that's always available for those who need it. But ways to really make a difference with that. Hope Cafe, you know, a free lunch once a month on Tuesdays out here. All different ways that we wanted to try, right? But the thing is that, you know, we also have to evaluate everyone and say, is it working? Right? And if not, why do it? Take the energy and the focus, because the truth of the matter is, as I stand up here in all honesty saying these things to you today, I know that you're busy. And I know that we need to call to engage you in ways that make a difference. But I'm here today to tell you that we need you to help determine those ways that would work today and tomorrow to reach people. Amen? To reach busy people like you. But people that have not yet really experienced what church should be about. Yeah, who maybe have the opposite, a bad taste in their mouth. Do you know how many people I visit that have a bad taste in their mouth about church? Oh, it's awful. And it's usually because someone has ruffled their feathers, you know, has offended them in some way. And then you know what they do? They let that person stand between them and God's will for their lives. What a sad thing. It does really take a heart that is willing to, as I said last week, consider others before yourself in order to make any relationship grow and be healthy. And the church is about relationship, isn't it? The body of Christ. So before I close this morning, I just wanted to encourage you to really speak up about what you would like to see done in order to help people, and to speak up about the things that you would like to get involved in that mission to help others. Amen? I really believe that God is so pleased when He sees our hearts that are willing to serve just as He was. serve others, huh? Finally, you know, we need to always understand that we are dependent upon God, upon His Spirit's influence and empowering to do anything. Because without that, nothing we do will be successful. It'll just be human effort. And we need God effort, amen? God anointing, Spirit anointing, in order to be able to really make a difference in our local community, in the lives of our people, and in the lives of those yet to know Christ. So, take the time today, would you? We're going to have some folks probably behind the tables that are already involved in different ministries. But there are some ministries that aren't even started yet that we would like you to consider. And all that means is saying, you know, I think I'm talented or gifted and called in this way, and this is how I'd like to serve. So as you're visiting, if you have those ideas, share them with somebody at the tables too. Let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful that we are the church. And while this local gathering is not perfect, Lord, we want to be better equipped to accomplish your mission on the earth. And so, Lord, I pray for each one here to see themselves as ministers, to see themselves as valuable, each a member of the body of Christ, each with a part to play, an important thing to contribute. So, Father God, just stir us up and help us to kind of do the checkup from the neck up, to also allow you to speak into our hearts. Lord, to help us to see the opportunity that you, O God, will make for us as we are willing. Jesus, build your church that the gates of hell will not prevail in. Save the lost. Heal those, Lord, that need your touch. Strengthen families. Lord, raise godly children. Lord, to change this area and this world, seeing your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.